The AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, or ACT UP, started as a protest group in the 1980s. It was aggressive and persistent, and that paid off. It helped change U.S. government policy on AIDS. Today, some ACT UP members are helping guide a new generation of activists. This time, they're fighting the Trump administration. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
ACT UP never settled for trying to push change quietly or behind the scenes. They were loud, demanding, and in your face. Like the time members engulfed Senator Jesse Helms' suburban Virginia home with a 35-foot canvas prophylactic.
The means for the message of giant condom.
Or the time ACT UP occupied the National Institutes of Health, pushing for change in AIDS research, funding, and clinical trials.
AIDS activists stormed the government's premier disease research center.
On an NIH entranceway, activists unfurled a giant banner with their logo and slogan, "Silence equals death."
My name is Avram Finkelstein. The snarky Machiavellian dude behind the "Silence equals death" image.
That slogan, black and white with a pink triangle, helped change the way the world looked at AIDS. At one point, "Silence equals death" was the most powerful protest slogan around and became an iconic backdrop to the chant, "ACT UP, fight back, fight AIDS." Now 65, Finkelstein is one of those ACT UP veterans from the 80s and 90s who today is helping shepherd the new anti-Trump collective, Rise and Resist. He recently led a teach-in on design and imagery for the New York City-based group.
Many people are younger people who work with organizations that were formed by ACT UP or were in ACT UP themselves. All of the civil disobedience training is being done by the exact same people who did them at ACT UP. So here is this perfect cross-section of this moment.
In January, Rise and Resist did one of its first actions. Scores of members booked brunch reservations at fine restaurants at several Trump-owned properties, and suddenly over Eggs Benedict began to cough, and cough some more. Protesters at what they called a cough-in held up signs, "Trump Care is making us sick." Writer David France created the book and film How to Survive a Plague about the AIDS crisis and ACT UP.
That's the kind of mediagenic action that ACT UP used to needle their opponent. And Trump is an easy target for needling. And they're working on trying to exploit that weakness of his.
While ACT UP is best known for its direct action protests, the group's real power came from its well-organized committees, says Maxine Wolf, another veteran from ACT UP's earliest days who's now active in Rise and Resist. ACT UP had subgroups on health, research, PR, and more. They did their homework, Wolf says, and helped ACT UP create a potent inside-outside strategy, demanding a seat of power alongside politicians and big pharma while keeping pressure up through creative street protests. The strategy helped turn HIV from a death sentence to a manageable condition.
We lobbied people. We did civil disobedience. The idea there was that you could use not a huge number of people, but a varied playbook and would keep coming at it until we won, which we did.
Artist Avram Finkelstein says he's not against big marches like January's Women's March or the upcoming March for Science. But his lesson from ACT UP, there's tremendous power in smaller actions that can reverberate in unexpected ways.
Whereas if that million people were broken into small groups of four and five, think of the power that could have. Pussy Riot was four people with a boombox, and it totally changed the way we thought about Putin's administration.
David France says those who oppose the president are now trying to reinvent the ACT UP toolkit for the age of Trump and Twitter.
I think what they're doing, especially at Rise and Resist, is taking those tactics and strategies and bringing them to the modern era and making them appropriate for the particular struggles being faced today.
But it's not yet clear what tactics might have a real impact with a famously media-savvy mogul turned president who may be thin-skinned but knows how to punch back. Eric Westerveld, NPR News, San Francisco.